Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Through the Wealth Lens. I am your moderator, Ryan Ruff. It's great to be back with everybody on the show today. And as always, I'm going to be joined by my right-hand man, and that's private wealth advisor at UBS International, Mr. Hannes Grascher. And in addition to Hannes today, we've got another great guest joining us, a fellow UBS International advisor. That's Ms. Chris DeBrito. And we are going to be diving into a really interesting conversation. But first and foremost, let's go ahead and say hi to those two. Hannes, Chris, great to see you this morning. How are you both doing?
Hey, Ryan, good to be back after our summer break.
Hi, Ryan. Nice to see you again.
No, great to be back with you both. And of course, we have a third guest that's going to be joining us today, and that's Ms. Lara Sass, an individual who has a really unique set of skills and experience working and, of course, thriving as really not just any trust an estate attorney typically might, but also one who has made it her mission to help women address kind of the issues they face when it comes to their trusts and estate planning overall. So Lara Sass, of the boutique firm Sass & Associates LLP, joins us from her office, which is just a few blocks down the road from you, Hannes, in New York City. And Lara really has years of experience in assisting high net worth clients on lifetime, postmortem strategies, strategies to reduce gift and estate tax stuff, property tax, of course, T&E administration, many of whom are successful women in professional worlds. So Lara, we are super excited to have you aboard and to share your unique experiences today. Welcome to Through the Wealth Lens, Lara.
Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. Lara, let's get started today. Why, set the scene, if you will. Why would estate planning be such an important topic for someone, especially if they find themselves in that high net worth category? Could you elaborate for us?
Sure. So as difficult as it may be for all of us to contemplate, death is inevitable, and many people become incapacitated during their lifetimes. So it's really imperative for every single adult, male or female, to formulate an estate plan. Without an effective plan, individuals place themselves, their assets, and their loved ones at risk, and instead can invite unnecessary heartache, family strife, and financial distress at the time of their incapacity or death. Estate planning instead allows an individual to retain the highest degree of control over their life and over their assets. If an individual neglects to create a will, or appoint a guardian for his or her minor children, designate a person to care for their finances, or execute a healthcare proxy, then decisions regarding their estate, their children's guardians, their finances, and even their medical care all will be made by the government and the courts without regard to their personal wishes. So an estate plan really offers peace of mind, knowing that long-term needs and objectives will be met, that assets will be safeguarded for loved ones, and most importantly, that their loved ones will be protected in the event of their incapacity or death.
And Lara, to piggyback off of Ryan's initial question, why is it so important for women in specific to have thorough estate plans?
So when it comes to women specifically, it's interesting to note that certain demographic shifts indicate how important and possibly even more important it is for women to have estate plans. And that's because chances are pretty high, in fact, about 90%, that a woman will be managing her finances on her own at some point, and moreover, will be responsible not just for the ultimate disposition of her wealth if she's single, but for the ultimate disposition of her wealth and her spouse's wealth if she's married. So the 90% certainty of managing her own financial affairs is due to a convergence of certain factors. One is women are almost four times as likely to be widowed. Two is women are living longer than ever before, thereby extending their widowhood. And three, more women are divorced or choose not to marry at all. So because of all of this, a woman must plan her estate, not only to ensure her own financial security and that of any children or other family members, but also to ensure proper disposition of her assets among family members, friends, and possibly charity.
Yes, Lara, that is such an important point. I can't tell you how many times throughout my career I've helped a client who was recently widowed, and she had no idea about the family finances. And this isn't because she didn't have the knowledge to handle it or the intelligence to handle it. It's because it was simply something her husband handled on his own from the day they were married until his death. I think we both believe that educating women from very early on in their marriages to make sure both sides are aware of the financial picture is really key to avoiding many of these problems.
Johannes, I agree. And this goes not only for widowed women, but divorcees as well. We have found that for women that have not been involved in their family finances from the beginning, actually over 55% of them, whether widowed or divorced, uncover financial surprises such as spending, debt, and even investments they did not know about before the time of divorce or their partner's passing. And in speaking with many of these women that have gone through this experience, they all say it's avoidable by just taking an active role in family finances from the onset. Further, being involved also gives women confidence about the future, whether it be post-divorce or after a partner's death, and are way more equipped no matter what comes up and comes their way.
I totally agree. For divorced and widowed women, the death of a partner and divorce are obviously very painful and overwhelming processes, riddled with emotions and decisions and paperwork. So it's easy for them to overlook or ignore other important aspects of their life after such a difficult time. But regardless, it's critically important that they do rebuild, especially women who had once shared or even completely renounced financial responsibilities. In doing so, it's important during or after the death or divorce that women update or even create their estate plans to ensure that they, their assets, and their families are all properly protected. Specifically, it's important in order to prevent an ex-spouse from inheriting assets and thereby potentially disinheriting other loved ones to update their wills and revocable trusts. In addition, these women should destroy any previously executed documents that name their ex-spouse, for example, as an agent under their healthcare proxy or under a power of attorney, and execute a new instrument designating the appropriate individual to serve instead. In addition, beneficiary designations for things like bank accounts, brokerage accounts, IRAs, retirement accounts, annuities, life insurance should all be updated to remove a deceased or ex-spouse and appropriately name a new beneficiary.
So Lara, so how does the situation of a widow or divorcee differ from a woman who is married or single?
So with respect to married women, it goes without saying that married couples typically rely on one another for financial support. So it becomes particularly important after marriage for individuals to plan their estates in order to ensure that their spouse and any children are adequately provided for in the event of disability or death. And along with marriage comes certain legal and financial status changes, such that spouses can file joint tax returns and they're bound by laws regarding the disposition of property at their death. A spouse's right to inherit the assets of a deceased spouse depends on whether the married couple lived in a state governed by community property or equitable distribution laws. So for those residing in community property states, which include California, Texas, Arizona, and a few others, the surviving spouse is entitled to receive his or her deceased partner's portion of marital assets. And the remainder of the deceased spouse's separate property is divided according to his or her will. By contrast, in equitable distribution states, such as where we stand in New York or in New Jersey, Connecticut, Florida, and many others, the surviving spouse often has a legal right to share in a percentage of the deceased spouse's entire estate at death. So for instance, where we are in New York, the surviving spouse is entitled to 1/3 of the deceased spouse's estate. And this is called the right of election, and it can be waived in a prenuptial or postnuptial agreement. It's also important that married couples understand the gift and estate tax benefits that are available only to married couples when they create their plans. Specifically, there's no federal or state estate or gift tax on transfers between U.S. citizen spouses, whether those transfers are made during lifetime or at death. And this is called the marital deduction. Those gifts and bequests can be outright transfers or could be made via trusts, such as Q-tip marital trusts. There's no limit on this amount that could be transferred to spouses. So the vast majority of married couples needing estate tax planning typically combine the estate tax exemption granted to each person, typically using what's called a credit shelter trust, with the unlimited marital deduction to ensure that no estate taxes are payable until the death of the surviving spouse. By contrast, for single women, the transfer of an estate to beneficiaries can be more expensive because she lacks the benefits of this marital deduction. Nevertheless, there are many planning tools that we have available, both living and testamentary, to reduce the effect of transfer taxes for single women. And finally, I'll just mention that estate planning for single individuals who are not married but have partners is particularly necessary, as the states don't typically impart partners with any legal inheritance rights, and assets can instead end up passing to their next living heir. Similarly, if a single individual has children without a second parent, he or she should name a guardian and trustee under his or her will to make sure that the child and any assets for that child are taken care of by trusted individuals.
Oh, Lara, no, this is really great. I appreciate you sharing a lot of this information with us. It's super beneficial for our audience, and I think it's safe to say that there's probably a vast majority, myself included, that didn't realize how truly different trust and estate planning efforts can be depending on somebody's marital status specifically. But let's switch gears for a moment, Lara. I'd like to get your two cents on this. I'm obviously aware through Sasson Associates LLP that you guys do a lot of work with female business owners or high net worth women and work obviously on their trust and estate planning efforts. Could you elaborate a little bit on this specifically, you know, with regard to those female business owners and high net worth women?
Sure, Ryan. So with respect to female business owners, planning for the future is an essential step. So one of the most important strategies for doing so is to have a strong succession plan in place, as it gives peace of mind and security now, but also in the future. So business succession planning is sort of a process of creating a plan for the future management and ownership of a business. When that's done properly, succession plans outline how one will manage ownership transfer in the event of retirement, divorce, disability, death, etc. It also involves preparing to handle financial issues as well as any personal considerations such as family dynamics and estate planning needs. Business owners must also plan carefully to ensure that their businesses can thrive without being subject to large, unnecessary taxes. Specifically, estate taxes can largely impact the success and stability of a business. So it's important to have tax planning in place to avoid unnecessary costs and also to ensure that there's sufficient liquidity to cover taxes and expenses. For women who are in the high net worth category, deciding whether to gift assets to loved ones to take advantage of the temporary increase that we have in the exemption amount should consider various factors regarding their level of wealth. So future earnings, income, appreciation, do they need asset protection planning? Is there a need for future access to gifted assets and the income tax consequences of transfer? For residents of states with a state estate tax, such as New York, Maryland, Massachusetts, gifting during life using the exemption amount may enable those funds to escape a state estate tax that could otherwise have been imposed at death. In addition, we have what's called the annual exclusion amount, which is $17,000 per year in 2023. And it's a simple yet effective strategy for estate planning. Wealthy individuals should consider making gifts to their children and grandchildren, whether it's outright or in trust, using their annual exclusion amounts in order to slowly deplete the value of their estates over time without using any of their federal exemption amount.
And Lara, can you give us an example, if you don't mind, of a female client, without naming names, of course, that had a particularly interesting trust and estate planning experience? Maybe a case where the client was completely unprepared when her husband died, or one where she was set up extremely well for the future because of the steps you took with her?
I would say the worst experience that I ever had with a client whose husband had died involved a lovely woman who was in her 70s. Her husband had always handled their finances from the time that they were married in their early 20s. And he had set up a very sophisticated plan decades before with a top law firm. But neither the husband nor the wife ever again revisited their plan and never properly administered it. So they came to me for the first time right before he died. He was terminally ill, and I identified some of these problems for them, but it was too late by that time to address them. So the husband passed away soon after our initial meeting, and the wife was left to wrap her head around managing his enormous estate on her own for the first time, and dealing with a tremendous estate tax that could have been entirely avoided if they had properly administered the estate plan. So that experience actually inspired me to form a client care program for our firm, whereby we diligently and actively manage our clients' estate plans to ensure that they continue to properly function and meet their objectives at all times. To give you an example, by contrast, of a woman who was set up extremely well when her husband died, I'll tell you about a client who anticipated well in advance that she would need information and handholding at the time of her husband's death and wanted to do anything possible to be prepared. So we had annual meetings with her and her husband to review, update, and administer their plan. We created documents that we shared securely online with them, their financial advisors, their accountants, adult family members, which included a detailed list of all assets with information regarding titling and value, contact information for all important advisors and beneficiaries, and a flowchart and detailed summary of their estate planning documents. When the husband eventually did pass away, the wife was obviously overwhelmed emotionally, but not financially, because we created a revocable trust for her husband so that we entirely avoided the nightmares that come with probate. All assets were properly titled in the trust, and there was no estate tax due at his death because the estate had been properly prepared. So the widow was extremely grateful because she had planned in advance. Everything was in place. All assets had been identified well in advance. There was no guesswork required. And we were able to just proceed with a fairly seamless and efficient administration of her husband's estate.
Lara, no, this is great. I really appreciate you sharing both those stories, two of which sound like they're relatively familiar stories to not only yourself, but also Hannes in his travels and his conversations. We've covered a lot, mainly in terms of the importance, really, of bottom lining that, you know, women out there should really be prioritizing their trust and estate planning to make sure that they do have the right strategy in place should circumstances befall upon them. Lara, look, for a lot of the folks out there that might be scratching their head and have a few more questions regarding their own situation, or better yet, they just want to learn more about the inner workings of some of the trust and estate planning processes that you mentioned today, what's the best way somebody can look you up and your team, find you guys online, and maybe just open up a dialogue?
Yeah, sure. So they can certainly reach out to my website, laramsass.com. We have tons of comprehensive information about all types of estate planning. A lot of it's about women, as we talked about. They can reach me by email at lsass@laramsass.com, or they can call my office at 212-971-9770, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
No, Lara, I appreciate you sharing that information with our audience today. And Hannes and Chris, I know that the two of you have conversations just like this on a regular basis with your clients, you know, to help guide them through some tough circumstances from time to time. For those out there in our audience that might be interested in reaching out to, let's say, a familiar face that they're aware of and would like to just start a conversation, what's the best way they can get in touch with you two?
So they can reach me by just calling our office at 212-713-8952 or sending us an email at hannes.grosher@ubs.com. And then Chris.
I can share my direct line, 212-713-8950. And my email is actually my full name. So Christina, Christina, .DeBrito@ubs.com.
Well, I appreciate you both. And Lara, thank you all for taking some time out of your busy schedules. I know you all have clients to serve, so we'll let you get back to doing that. But, I really appreciate the conversation. I think we left a lot of value out there for folks. And we'll have to have you back on the show down the road, Lara, to give us an update on some strategies, as obviously things are constantly changing in this world. But appreciate you, and we'll see you again sometime soon.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Alrighty, and hey folks, we want to take one final moment, as we always do, and thank you all for stopping by and spending some time with us on the podcast today. If you took anything away from today's discussion surrounding trust and estate planning for women, business owners, or recently widowed individuals, and learned a thing or two, well, make sure you hit the subscribe button on whichever platform you check this out on. That way you never miss out on a future conversation between Hannes, myself, and any one of our teammates as we explore these different wealth management topics so that you and yours can come out better for it on the other end. Before Hannes, Chris, and Lara, I'm Ryan. We're going to go ahead and say so long today, but we appreciate you stopping by and being with us on Through the Wealth Lens.
This communication is intended to be used for educational purposes only and does not constitute a solicitation to purchase any security, insurance, or advisory service. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. An investment in any security involves significant risks, and any investment may lose value. Refer to all risk disclosures related to each security product carefully before investing. This commentary is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed may not be officially those of UBS Financial Services Incorporated, and the firm does not verify nor guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information presented. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC registered broker dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that clients understand the ways in which we conduct business, that they carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to them about the products and services we offer. For more information, please review the PDF document at ubs.com/relationship summary.